This week on New Dad Gaming, a brief love letter to the new PSVR demo, a little Destiny 2, and a whole lot of disappointment about Battlefront 2. We also introduce Joe, who takes the Gaming Dad Victory of the Week with the quintessential Gaming Dad moment. All on New Dad Gaming. The adult beverages are poured, the kids are asleep. Welcome to New Dad Gaming, a show about fatherhood, gaming, and new fathers figuring out their gaming lives. My name is Trevor, and I have a two-year-old and a two-month-old.
And I'm Jeff. I have a seven-year-old and a four-year-old.
Going to start off something very exciting this week. I'm going to be scouring the internet for examples of fathers who are gaming and doing it right. Specifically, we're calling this Gaming Dad Victory of the Week.
Woo!
So, Jeff, I'll have you open up the link. Jeff has not seen this one yet.
Okay.
I want his cold reaction.
Live reaction heading your way. Hold on.
But let me give you a little bit of the background. So this one comes from...
That is hilarious.
This one comes from Gaming Dad Joe, Reddit handle of Christy and Joe, and we'll include the link in the show notes. But Jeff, I'd like you to go ahead and describe what you're seeing.
You know, this is basically what happened 3 years ago in my family. So you have the older brother holding the controller that's actually connected. And then you have the younger brother that's happy as a clam to participate with no controller connected. He still has something in his hands, but it's not working.
And I should say that the title of the post is Learning the Ropes of a Classic.
Oh, yeah.
So it seems like they're just getting their feet wet, too. But this is the quintessential fatherhood gaming pick. The two kids, One of the first games, an incredible game to introduce them to as far as Mario Kart's concerned. And the fact that the younger kid does not have an active controller is just so perfect.
He's so happy. And I think the best part is the racing wheels.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely the way to do it. And the concentration of the older child actually playing, it is just beautiful. So from New Dad Gaming to Gaming Father Joe, we salute you for the Gaming Dad Victory of the Week.
Woo!
Woo! So big news this week as far as the gaming world being set on fire with a certain company we'll call disrespecting a certain fan favorite property, but before we get into that, Jeff has some very personal takes on this I'd like to get into. But before we get into that, we'll zip through our fatherhood and gaming of the week. So myself, fatherhood perspective, I think one of the things I'm most noticing these days is that there's a lot to be frustrated about when you have a little guy coming up.
Oh, yes. I thought you meant in general, but okay.
Oh, yeah. But the thing that I'm finding is that, like, I'm not frustrated with him. It's more like I'm frustrated with the situation. Because let me put it to you this way. Like, hey, Jeff, I'm going to take a 2.5-year-old to a restaurant. How's that going to go?
I don't know why you do that, but okay.
Right? Right? Yep. And that's the thing. So it happened. He did pretty well. Okay. Not great. And, you know, it obviously wasn't the most enjoyable dining experience. Mm-hmm. And there's frustration there. But it's not like I'm looking at him like, darn you for not behaving. It's more like, I dislike that I've put this ball of energy into this, like this literal bull into this glass shop.
I regret my choices. Yeah, no, I
right?
get
like,
it.
It's not on him. So it's not like, darn you kid. It's more like, why are these two, what did I bring these two things together that just don't go together?
That's right.
So it's, you know, it's either like we're in traffic and he's acting up, or it's a restaurant, or it's any of these things. And a lot of times I'm just finding it's like, poor you. I mean, I get it. Like, I kind of feel for him. It's where it's you are unbridled, untapped imagination and energy, and I'm trying to confine you into adult spaces. Like, what would anybody expect? Like,
yeah.
So
is this a fine dining experience, by the way? Is it fine dining, or are we talking like
it's in between casual? Okay. Casual, more towards fine as far as, like, it's definitely not. I mean, it's the type of thing where they'll have kids' mats they can draw on with crayons, but...
Okay.
That's the absolute extent of it. Otherwise, there's some, like, dates going on. Like, so, like, this is definitely not a kid's situation. But no, he's doing great. It's crazy too, because he seems to be picking up so many concepts that we're not teaching him. Okay. It's like he's just absorbing it. So there's kind of like this play area we go to, and there's a house, and the door was closed, and he closes it, and he notices that there's a keyhole, and then he asks me for my keys. He's like, yeah. He knows that I have like a set of keys. Like, oh, give me the key. And like, keys. And he goes and he proceeds to, for the next while, play with opening and closing the door, like locking it. Hmm. Like, I've never like specifically sat down and explained to him how keys work, or like he has like a little toy lock and key set. But just through living and noticing it, like he's kind of picked that up, like the association, like, oh, those metal dangly things open the door when you can't get it.
Yeah.
You know, and that type of thing, it's bizarrely amazing. Like all those small moments where it's like, how are you learning this? Like you're a sponge. You're grabbing everything.
I'm just glad he asked for your keys and didn't like start to immediately try to lockpick the thing. Like he's watched too many hours of Skyrim or something and your like lockpicking level is increased. And
that's so darling. Oh, look, he's locking the door. Oh, that's great. He's making sure people inside. Oh, he's setting the building on fire. Oh my God. No.
Oh, there we go. Oh no.
Grand Theft Auto 5. Why? Oh, but the, so gaming perspective, I really do want to burn through this stuff. The couple weeks ago, or maybe even at least a week ago, the PlayStation released a new demo disc for free. You can download for PSVR.
Just rub it in my face. Okay.
It's, I don't want to say it's like the most amazing thing.
Oh my God.
I wouldn't know how I would live without it, you know?
Right.
No. So the, what was I excited about? They had a bunch of new demos. I haven't even gone through them all at this point. The, some of the highlights though were, Moss.
Yes.
Star Child, Tiny Tracks. I tried Rez. That didn't really do it for me, but like Moss is, I can't. Put it into words.
That looks so cool, that one.
It's just, it's like you're in a Pixar movie interacting with them, and being in the space is so much. Like, you could certainly do this game flat. It wouldn't just not have the gravitas. The fact that you're just right there interacting with this Pixar character who is just absolutely endearing. Like, the challenges are great. Like, they're pretty meaty. And the thing is, too, like, it's taking advantage of it, because for a lot of it, I was actually kind of, like, bending up and down and trying to look into buildings to figure out how to do this one particular puzzle.
Wow.
Almost condescendingly, at one point, I couldn't get this one puzzle. So the mouse, he, like, waves at me.
Oh, my God.
He waves me down, and he starts to act out what I'm supposed to do. He's like, and he helped me solve it. It was like,
that's hilarious.
Like, that's genius. Instead of like pop-up hints, it's like, hey, you're an idiot and you can't figure out how to beat this. Yeah, there's like mouse like oh no,
you should
go
you should try unlocking this door with this key. Yeah, come on.
I didn't expect there to be combat, but he has this like little grass sword that he goes with. It feels great, but just like the charm of, I don't think it can be understated, the impact of charm this day and age.
Yeah.
With these games, and especially I think for something with PSVR where you get to be inside of it, I think there's a lot of fun to be had with being scared with the zombies and everything else like that. But for somebody to nail this storybook Pixar movie style event, it was just, it is basically, if you've looked at it and you thought like that looks amazing, it's better than you think.
Wow,
is how this demo has put it down. Another one in the same, so Star Child, very much in the same vein. It's a bit more 2D platform, except you're in it. Like, so the character's moving along and you're kind of a floating head, but you can look to the left and right and you're very much in the world.
Right.
And just same thing. Like, they've just come at it from a really fresh perspective and of using like the headset and especially the motion controls. Mm. Well, you use a controller, but like you reach out and you grab and you push and you prod and just a bunch of like interesting stuff. So, oh, I should mention about Moss. Like, a lot of it is like you actually kind of reach, like he needs to jump on something. So you actually reach and grab his boulder and like lift it up and pull it up so he can jump on it.
Oh, wow. That's neat.
Yeah. So there's interaction with that space. Tiny Tracks. It's kind of like you're looking at a over the top, crazy cartoon, electric racing track, like with the little guns.
Oh, okay.
So, and like it scoops up, it's going down, like, so it's really thorough, like, and completely cartoony. So at the one point you're underwater and like there's explosions and jumps, pirate ships, like it seems really cool. Didn't really scratch my itch, but like you can just see people starting to approach these games now in such interesting ways. So I think it was genius timing for these guys to release this second wave, because I think people are really starting to get their stride as far as these games. Moss, yeah, that's a day one purchase, I think. Like, that is just stunning.
You're really not making this easy.
Yeah, sorry, buddy. I just...
You're really not doing that.
Huh. Oh, and then I'm holding off on buying Skyrim.
You know what? I was going to say, are you going to hold off on that? Because I've seen some videos, and the way they implemented VR is insane.
It's so good. Like, I think there's a lot of fear that the game was going to be limited. The movement was going to be garbage. Like, you just wouldn't really get a feel for it. And it looks like they just nailed it, every part of it.
I saw one clip where the guy blocked an arrow with his shield, and then he turned his shield, and he used the other hand to poke out the arrow.
Damn.
So then now he's got an arrow. And, like, the hands show the rings that you wear, that you equip. Like, so, like, little details are captured. It's not making it easy. You know, it does look like, you know, old school Skyrim. It's, you know, it's 6-7-year-old game or whatever, but holy.
Man, I know that. It's so exciting. But I think I have so many games to get through, and I honestly just want to spend some time with these other ones.
Yeah. Well, you would be lost in Skyrim forever. That would be, I'm gone in a new world. See ya. I'm off to Whiterun.
It's over. If I don't report in for the next, like, 2 months, you know what's happened. I bit the bullet and bought it. But like, literally, though, I got 4 or 5 other VR games I really want to get through before I dive into that one, so we'll have to see. The other game this has been really top-heavy. I'm almost done, I swear. This could I'll probably save a lot of this more for another episode, but Destiny 2 is still really doing it for me. That's which crazy. I didn't think it would. Like, I had a lot of trepidation when I bought this thing. I thought that this is a big old MMO. I am a dad gamer. I do not have time for this type of thing.
Right.
But, it is really sessionable. And, like, it's Halo perpetually. It's like, and the public events are fun. Like, I've even started to think about getting into what they call a fire team to do some of these, like, strikes, which seem like 30-minute kind of sessions.
Okay.
There's this one. The big, big one is the Leviathan raid, which could take anywhere from, like, an hour to, like, 6. So that one's probably out of dad range, but it keeps giving, to the point where I'm almost considering getting the new DLC coming out.
Really?
So it's something of Osiris. This guy has a bit of an Egyptian vibe to him. But it's because I enjoyed the main story so much. It just, like, booting around and while you... Classic RPG style where you're on a quest. I'm trying to get from point A to B. But, of course, on the way, like, you do C, D, E, F, G, H, I, and J.
What's that over there?
Yeah. So in the way that I do RPGs, by the time I get to B, I'm like way overpowered. I'm like, great. It's like, oh, this is not even a challenge now. I got so many side quests. Yeah, so I'll go more depth on that because I want to get into that. And the segue, I would suppose, is ultimately these guys are offering up DLC, you know, and it feels good. You know, like, in a sense, like, I would want to get it because, like, I enjoyed the story. That was a lot of fun.
Right.
Got things from it. And if this is more story and some extra missions, yeah, like, that could be a blast. I could enjoy that, and I'd like to almost support the ongoing game.
Right.
Because it's giving me a lot. So DLC is interesting that way.
Yep.
So how's your Battlefront 2 pre-order doing there, buddy?
You know what? That's a sad transition. That is, you know, that's going to cost you $4.99 to make that transition.
Yeah, I bet. You wish it was that cheap.
Yeah. So yeah, Battlefront 2. If for those who didn't tune in before, I did play the beta. Had some fun in the beta. Saw some problems happen too with loot boxes, loot crates, whatever you call them. And I had a pre-ordered at that time, and you know, stuff started hitting the fan the last couple of weeks, and I ended up actually canceling. So.
No, that's Jeff, that. Man, I'm sorry, really. So you cut out that entire time.
Oh,
I only heard the hitting the fan.
Okay.
Could you, so I'm going to stop my recording just so I know to like edit it.
Yep. No worries. Yep. Okay. So a couple of weeks ago, I did play the beta. The beta was, you know, I had some fun with it. It was good. I saw the loot crates or loot boxes, whatever you call them, kind of come into play.
Wait, the loot, hold on. The loot stuff was already in the beta?
Yeah, it was already there. You didn't have to pay for it, but that's how you got these cards, which then kind of increased your character. So it was all based on this loot box system. So you didn't get experience points that upped your level and you automatically win something. It's like you get experience to buy these loot crates that randomly select things to upgrade your character or characters or win characters. So yeah, there's a problem there, right? So kind of sat on it. Then stuff started happening in the community, to say the least. And I ended up canceling that pre-order. So
oh,
it is done. You, over.
You were part of the mob. You got out. You answered the call.
I had to explain to my kids, like, because they were looking forward to it. It was something that they were wanting to play. They saw
Kyle Ren is in it. Oh, that's the worst.
Right? And I'm like, you know what? This company wants a lot more money, and we are not going to give them that.
I didn't even know that angle, because I know your kids enjoyed it, but I didn't know. So your kids knew about the pre-order.
Yep. I let them kind of play around with Battlefront 1 in arcade mode. Like, you know, they go around and shoot the enemies that are kind of waves of enemies that come on, and they have a fun time. It's just being Darth Vader, Luke Skywalker running around. So with this game, you can't unlock those characters right away. So it's like, well, I'm not going to go through those conversations when it comes out. You can't play Darth Vader today. Sorry. It's going to cost Daddy another $20. Maybe.
Oh, more, $20 to like even try.
Well,
to
yeah,
get
it's
him.
All, again, it's randomly generated. So it's not even like you're guaranteed to get a character.
Yeah, that, man, that, it got so heavy so quickly.
Oh, the entire like community burned EA to the ground. Like, which is good on everybody, kind of a united front. But
on the battle, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Two.
But if you ever play the beta, or if anybody out there has played the beta, you know what I'm talking about, where there's like three currencies that go on in this game. And for you to get the cards you want, they're through crystals. And crystals aren't earned through experience in the game. They're earned through getting random currencies in the loot boxes. So I don't know how that works. And even playing other modes are all timed experience points. So if you just want to play arcade, not play multiplayer and earn experience that way, you can up until a certain amount of time, and then it cuts you off. Kind of like a mobile game. So
it's just, man, it's so, of all the properties, you know, to like pull this on is the one that would so enrapture kids. And like the thought of your experience as a dad having to explain to your kids that they're not going to be able to play what would be probably one of their, I don't want to call it their favorite properties, but one of the like, beloved properties.
Yep.
Because like, that's so dirty, man.
Well, and like the hype is there, right? The movie is coming out in a month. They've seen the first, the Force Awakens one. They know about this other one. And now there's a video game about, you know, certain aspects of that. And then, nope. There's too much wrong with it. Sorry, kids. Like, I have to wait till Christmas.
I just wonder, like, I hope that, so I'll say, like, with Battlefront 1, that still stands to be the worst, one of the worst gaming purchases I've ever made.
Right.
And I don't say that with much hyperbole. I mean, I just literally, I played the beta with a buddy, and we had, like, we were stunned. Like, it was so much fun, and they nailed the look and the feel, like you really felt like you were in Star Wars. It was amazing. And then the actual game comes out and it's just, fizzled. You know, I was basically allowed to, it was based for myself. It was a 2 second running simulator.
Okay.
Where every 30 seconds I got to run for 2 seconds before somebody just blew the hell out of me. And I'm bad at these games. Right.
Yeah.
like, I don't want to try to say it's like the game's fault that I'm bad at them, but even at the worst with some of these shooters, especially competitive ones, like you can kind of kick around a little bit and maybe score a win every now and then.
Right.
But this one was just garbage. Like, right. Because like we discussed this on previous episodes, but like that thought that as you play more, you get better weapons, and as you're more skilled, you get better and better and stuff. So you're like, hold on. So I'm a new player coming into this. I don't have anything.
Yep.
You're rewarding people who are putting hundreds of hours and thousands of dollars into this with stuff that can make can kill me easier. Like I'm awful already. don't bring me down. Don't give them more advantage.
Exactly. Like I don't understand how you get it so backwards. And then with this whole new system in Battlefront 2 of just you can pay your way to win. That's what it is. They say it's not, but you can pay your way to win. It's, you know, no secret. But I had experiences in the beta when people had played the beta for 9 hours more than me, and they had extra health, or they had extra ammunition clips in their gun, or a cooldown. And it's like, it's not fun anymore when you try to do objectives, and then you just get ransacked by some other guy that has all the power-ups, and it doesn't make a difference, right? It makes the game unfun. So it's kind of like Running Simulator 2 for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Running denounces that you have like a decent amount of time. This was just literally 2 seconds after 2 seconds.
Yep.
And I just gave it up. And then the first one didn't even have a campaign. So there's no saving grace there where you get to kind of zip around and have a good time. I think they might have introduced one later on, but I was already so finished with the property, I just forgot it. Yeah. So much so I didn't bother with the second one, and from the looks of it, I did not miss out.
Yeah, well, and I was like the flip side, right? They got me Battlefront the original. I bought for like $10. It was on sale. I'm like, yeah, why not? Again, graphics amazing. It's like you're in a Star Wars film. They got that like perfect. The sound effects,
so everything good.
Hooked me. I'm like, oh, you know, this is kind of fun for the amount I paid. I'll pre-order the next one just because I'll never see that price in Canada. It was like $49. I wouldn't see that for, you know, a couple months. Why not? And then they pull this, and it's just so disappointing. That's what it is. It's disappointing. And them speaking back to the community how, you know, they're listening, they were changing. It's like, no, you just overreached. You got caught, and now you're backpedaling because PR is bad and you don't want to, you know, go to the shareholders saying, you know, our game is not doing so well. And this is why.
That's the most I would mimic your sentiment around good for the community. It was great to see so much backlash, so many pre-orders canceled, so much so that they actually like made note of it. They ripped out microtransactions.
Temporarily.
Yeah, right. That was a big caveat, right? And that's the part that worries me. Like, what does this mean?
Well, it means...
Like, what is it? Sorry, you go. What?
No, it means Disney wants to release its movie, right, in a month. Don't give it bad PR. And then after the movie's released, go nuts. Do you know what I mean? Like, I guarantee you, I will bet anyone out there, January, those things will be turned back on because people either have forgotten... Or they're so into the Star Wars movie that they want something to kind of replicate that experience on a console or in a game, and they'll go out and purchase this game. It'll be there. It'll suck.
That's the thing. I just can't imagine them not bringing it back. Like, it's so core to everything that is this experience. Like, how would you not turn it back on?
I don't know. It's so sewn into the game fabric that I don't know how they can just say, no, we're not, you know, it's not pay to win anymore. You have to just play it, which if you do, there's some calculations out there to, in order to earn everything, it's like 4,000 hours. So that's totally doable. You know, I can just stay up for the next 5 years and I'm good.
That's totally dad time. Don't you worry about that. Yeah.
That's exactly what I want.
I don't know. So I think just from gamers' perspectives, like, you know, from anyone who's played games for a long time, this is incredibly sad.
It really is.
Sad.
It
just is. The how low this is, and if it becomes if they get away with it and it becomes the norm.
Yep.
From a dad perspective, crushing.
Yep.
Like that is just like I can't put myself in your shoes. Like I can't think of having to explain to kids who were excited about it, who love the Star Wars franchise, you don't get to play this game because we cannot, in good conscience, support this. Well, and I'll applaud you, and I applaud you greatly, because like it'd be easy to just give in and
just get it,
support a garbage game to allow your kids, you know, that that experience. But like, so props to you on sticking to those guns.
It sounds weird, but like a lot of that time spent gaming with my kids is a good bonding time, right? Like I don't think I really had that with my parents. They weren't into video games. This is something that they want to do with me. We do other things, obviously, and keep them active, but come on. Like this is
Dad,
like,
please, I want to play soccer. Yeah, no.
No, you need to do this. You need to earn Darth Vader.
Grind.
1,000 hours. But it was like something that we were looking forward to, and we could do a two-player thing and pass the controllers around, you know, have them all connected. We're at that age where they're all connected. But like it was a bonding time, and now it's like that game doesn't exist anymore, and we have to kind of find something else or, you know, wait and see. But it won't be a purchase, that's for sure.
So, not just, yeah, sour, man. It's
a dad absolutely sour, unfortunate. Man, that's right.
So I guess ultimately stick to the Lego Star Wars games and...
Yeah, exactly, yeah. At least they're there. Well,
I still haven't played a Lego game, you know, at this point. None of them.
Should dive in.
They look amazing. Honestly, it's the type of thing I probably have one purchased somewhere. I think it's probably in a Steam library.
There's so many.
I've likely by accident purchased one at some point. So
it is really funny how they kind of reinterpret some of the scenes, because I don't think a lot of them have voice. So it's actually kind of like, it's a funny, the games are really well known and they're funny to play. I can watch my son fart around in it. It's easy enough.
Well, that's got to be the more dad-friendly version. You should have just called it Battlefront 2. Like, hey, son, it arrived. Here it is.
Here it is. It's I scratched it out in Sharpie. Care. Like, yeah, it's good. It's all good.
Just draw your own. just draw up your own cover art and everything, like you see in those ghetto GameStop versions.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be too perfect. But you know, so I hate to end on a sour note, but I think that's just the state of the gaming world. I hope that this sends a message that like that there are there is a point when people start to fight back. I think obviously this is microtransactions and selling tiny like portions of games and making people buy the extra parts.
Yeah.
It continued to creep up and get worse, and I think this might just have been the most overt greedy version of it, and I think they got their hands slapped, and hopefully there's some messages and some lessons learned. But
no, we have to stay vigilant as gaming dads. It'll creep in again. So, united front.
You open up like your son's backpack.
Yeah.
What is this? You know how this. You know this household is non-microtransaction.
You can't do that. Yeah, exactly. You get out. We're gonna get you into rehab. You can't do this.
Son, I want you to look at me, and I want you to honestly tell me: are you doing microtransactions?
Did you buy a loot crate? Did you?
But Dad, it's just cosmetic. That's how they get you.
That is a gateway drug. You cannot.
Long as you live in this house.
Too real.
It's like, what? It's like, Dad, don't you care about like the seven joints? Like, hey, stay on topic.
This is more important.
It's like, what? That's fine. Listen, microtransactions.
Yeah, exactly.
It's ruining. But... Yeah, so, yeah, like you said, gaming dads, stay vigilant, and, you know, we have to be on the front lines of this battle, too.
There you go. That was a good one.
Framed it up nicely.
Very nice.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. This has been New Dad Gaming. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can find us on our website at newdadgaming.com. We would love to hear from you. You can reach out to us with show notes, ideas, questions, anything you like. You can find us on social media, too, on Facebook and Twitter. The podcast is served up anywhere you find normal podcasts, on iTunes, Google Play, and anywhere else. We'd love a subscription, a rating, and most importantly, a pass along to a fellow dad who games. Until next week, this has been New Dad Gaming. My name is Trevor. I have a 2-year-old and a 2-month-old and not a lick of microtransactions.
And I'm Jeff. I have a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old, and I run a no microtransaction household.
That's the way I likes it,
damn
it.
That's how it's going to happen.
Graven, we'll see you next week.
See ya.
If you'd like to download the rest of this episode, click here, $2.99 purchase. What, man, what would it be? Dad credits? Pun credits?
Be dad credits or like baby credits. Or watch the next 20 videos and earn the next video free. You've watched one of 20.